I want to look at some verses in Psalms, the 16th chapter. The last few verses of Psalm chapter 16 is the basis for our study this morning. David there said, I have set the Lord always before me. In this particular statement, you can find David representing himself as well as representing himself as a type of Christ. Because in Acts chapter 2, there, verse 25, this is applied by the Apostle Peter to Jesus. And so, in talking about this statement, I don't want you to get the impression that this is specifically and exclusively about David. It was indeed about David, but as Peter was preaching there on Pentecost in Acts 2:25, he said, for David speaketh concerning him, and the him there is Christ. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. And so this not only is in regard to David's mindset himself, but is also a representation or type of Christ, because Jesus always had God before him. He specifically said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And so we understand that this is a passage that has really a dual meaning. But I want us to use this sort of as a springboard for our study this morning. In verse 11 of this chapter, we're reminded that in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy and true happiness. As David concludes this chapter, he said, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I think we as Christians would probably all agree with this statement, but there are times we find ourselves maybe not as close to God as we would like to be, or maybe as close to God as we know that we ought to be from a spiritual standpoint. Sometimes we're weak. Sometimes we're filled with depression and anxiety that affects our spiritual outlook. And so in times such as that, we need to ask ourselves what we can do in order to become close to God again. And I believe the answer is found there in the passage we just read in verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. That indicates a mindset, a determination of heart, that this is what I'm going to do. And I want us to look in our study today at some ways that I believe we can draw closer to God, or to set the Lord before us. And I want to begin by talking about creation. That we can set the Lord before us through God's creation. We can let nature help us draw closer to God. Creation speaks to us of God's glory, of the knowledge of God. In Psalm 19 and verse 1, David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. It also shows the eternal power and deity of God. In Romans chapter 1, there at verse 20, Paul would say, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Now listen, even his eternal power and Godhead. How can we know that God is eternal, that he has power, that he is indeed God? And as Paul concludes this statement in dealing with the Jews, and then later with the Gentiles, and then the Jews and Gentiles together in later chapters. But here he says, so that they are without excuse. There's absolutely no reason why we can't know that there is a God. As we contemplate God's creation, we understand his power. We understand his person. And as a result, we become closer. It's like when we increase our knowledge and our understanding of our friends. It enhances our relationship. That's true in a marriage. As we become more knowledgeable of each other, it enhances the relationship that we have. And so as we look at the creation, we can learn something about God. There are those who use the natural settings in drawing closer to God. You look over Genesis chapter 24, there at verse 63, it talks about Isaac going out to meditate in the field at eventide. In the evening, Isaac went out in the field there to meditate. And that's when he looked up and saw the camels coming. His wife's coming. But he's going out in the field. In Matthew 14, verse 23, it talks about Jesus sending the multitude away, and he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was coming, he was there alone. Jesus was out in the natural elements, and there he prayed to God. There's a song that we sing sometimes, titled Alone in Eden, authored by Will W. Slater. It's number 210 in our book. Walking alone at eve, and viewing the skies afar, bidding the darkness come to welcome each silver star. I have a great delight in the wonderful scenes above, God in his power and might, is showing his truth and love. But understand that creation, nature, alone is not sufficient. Yes, the heaven declares the glory of God, firmly shows his handiwork. But that alone is not enough. It teaches us about God. There is a God. God is powerful. But we need something in addition. And I suggest to you, we can draw closer to God through revelation. We are indeed limited in what we can learn from God through the natural element. We see his power. We see his divinity, his glory. We know and we learn something about God. But in nature, we don't learn anything at all about his will for us. Nature, creation, does not declare God's will. It declares God, but it does not declare God for us. Only by divine revelation can God's will fully be known. As Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, he said, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Through our own power, we cannot know God's will. I can't even know your will unless you reveal it to me. I can't know what you think unless you tell me what you think. You can ask Dottie sometimes. How many times I've told her, I can't read your mind. You have to tell me. Now, sometimes we can be insightful and we can figure out sometimes what people are thinking and what they plan and that sort of thing, but we can't really know the mind of a person until they tell us. We can't know the mind of God until he tells us. And he has. He's revealed it in his word. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul said how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. It was a mystery, but now it's been revealed. Sometimes you read a book we call a mystery. And by the time you get to the end of the book, you understand the mystery is no longer a mystery because it's been revealed. That's what Paul's talking about. By revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So Paul confirms again in Ephesians 3 what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Revealed by the Spirit. And so we understand that in Scripture there were individuals who remained close to God as a result of depending on the Word. We'll not take the time to go and read all of these, but sometime to look at Psalms 119 and read the number of times in that passage where David referred to being close to God, staying close to God. Verse 92 and 93, 105, 147, 148, just a few of the times when David talks about this. And you remember in Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was tempted by the devil. How many times he replied, it's written. When the devil said, if you're hungry, command these stones to be made bread. Jesus replied, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you're the Son of God, you can make these stones into bread. Yes, he could have. But that wasn't God's will. He depended on God's will to sustain him. Same with the other temptations. The devil took him up on the high mountain, showed him all the kings of the world. I'll give you all these if you fall down and worship me. Jesus said, it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him only shalt thou serve. Took him to the pinnacle of the temple. Jump off. And then, there the devil quotes Scripture. It's written, he'll give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. That's Scripture. Jesus replied again, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You don't put him to the test. Yes, he promised to care for us. He promised to care for his son. But you don't just deliberately walk out in front of a tractor trailer rig to see if God's going to stop it before he hits you. He's given us a better chance than that. And so we don't put God to the test. That's what Jesus told the devil. You don't do that. It's written. You don't do that. So we let God's word help us draw near to him. Because he's the source of peace and strength. I notice the second verse of the song that we're talking about, walking alone at eve. Sitting alone at eve and dreaming the hours away. Watching the shadows falling, now at the close of day. God in his mercy comes with his word. He's drawing near. Spreading his love and truth around me and everywhere. With his word, it's emphasized. But we don't stop with just listening to God's word. It's not enough just to commune with nature. It's not enough just to know what God's word says. Remember we talked about Ezra chapter 7 to verse 10? He's going to seek God's word. But it's not enough just to look for God's word and know what it says. Then you have to put it into practice. One of the ways you do this is through prayer to God. This close relationship with God is a two-way street. Yes, God revealed himself through creation. He's revealed himself to mankind through his word. By revelation. Then by prayer, we can express our concerns and we can receive blessings. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer draws us closer to God. By prayer, we can make our petitions, our requests, known to God with thanksgiving. And when we do this, Paul says, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So we can express our concerns to him, and as a result, we can receive a blessing. We can draw boldly to God. Paul, a Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed in the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, the word therefore means for this reason, because of the high priest that we have, that went through the trials and tribulation that he did without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boldly, the throne of God. Others found prayer as a means to receive help from God. You can look at David in Psalms chapter 32, verses 3 through 6. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquities have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. David confessed his sins, and that brought forgiveness from God. And you remember the prayer that Jesus prayed in Matthew 26, there verse 36 through 44, when he prayed there for strength in time of trial, when he was there in the garden, he prayed, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He was in great agony. The text says his sweat came, as it were, great drops of blood. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even to death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He came back to the disciples and found them asleep. Asked them, could they not watch with him for 1 hour? Told them to watch and pray, that they not enter not into temptation. Then he went and prayed again, the same prayer. He found his disciples again, asleep. He left and went away again and prayed the third time, the same prayer. This was just prior to his being led away to be tried and then ultimately to be crucified. In verse 46, he said, rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Jesus prayed fervently for strength. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We can draw near to God through prayer. We can let him know our deepest thoughts, our emotions, our feelings. We can pour out our hearts and soul to God and know that he hears. In the third verse of the psalm we've been looking at, it says, closing my eyes at eve and thinking of heaven's grace, longing to see my Lord, yes, meeting him face to face, trusting him as my all, wheresoever my footsteps roam, pleading with him to guide me on to the Spirit's home. Pleading with him to guide me. And again, prayer's not enough. Looking at the power of God through creation is not enough. Knowing God's will, intellectually knowing that there is a God, and knowing what he says is not enough. praying to Him, pouring out all your heart's desire, petition to Him, is really not enough. We can set the Lord before us through fellowship with the saints. Strength comes from assembling together, just as there is strength in numbers. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning there, verse 9, Solomon said, two are better than one, because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand it. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There's strength in numbers. In view of the danger of falling away, the Scripture teaches that we are to exhort one another daily. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Pay attention, the author said. Then in verse 13 he said, but exhort one another daily. What's called a day? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We have a responsibility to each other, to admonish one another. And Hebrews chapter 10 talks about frequent assemblies. Let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works. Hebrews 10 verse 24. Consider one another to provoke and to love and good works. We need each other. Then he said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. The assembling of yourselves. That's not just one assembly. That's frequently gathering together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Some then had formed the habit of not being in the assembly. He says, as the manner some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day or time approaching. There's quite a bit of discussion as to what time is being discussed there in Hebrews 10:25. Some say it's looking toward the judgment day. And yes, it's getting closer every day we live. It may be this day, we don't know. But I think probably the text they're talking about the times when the disciples assembled together. Some suggest it's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. They were looking forward, looking for the time when Jerusalem would be destroyed. And yes, it would be destroyed. And was destroyed. But this passage is not limited to just those times that they were looking at. I think the author is talking about the times when they were to assemble together. They knew when they were going to assemble together. And when he said, so much the more, as you see, the day approaches. So they knew when the time was coming when they would assemble together. It's sort of like coals of fire keeping each other hot. Assembling keeps the spark alive in our relationship with God. I read a piece about a preacher who went to visit with a member who had been absent from the assemblies for some time. And it was back during the days when they had a fire in the fireplace. And when he went in, he never said a word to the gentleman. The gentleman asked him in. He didn't say a word. He walked over to the fireplace. As he sat down, he took the poker. And he raked a coal of fire out on the hearth. Still didn't say a word. They sat there in painful silence until that glowing ember that had been pulled from the fire became a cold, dark, black clinker. Never a word said. And the brother said, preacher, you don't have to say anything. I'll be at services Lord's Day. He got the message. We draw strength from each other when we assemble together for worship. The early church found strength by assembling together. When Peter and John were released from prison after their arrest in Acts the 4th chapter, they went to the brethren. When Peter was in prison, Acts chapter 12, verse 12, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Listen, where many were gathered together praying. Peter saw the need for going to those of his brothers and sisters in Christ. Do we really understand that our assemblies can be a foretaste of God's presence? We draw near to God through song, through prayer, reading His Word. We enjoy fellowship with God and His servants. There's a passage over in Revelation, the 7th chapter. It's sort of a lengthy reading, but Revelation chapter 7, beginning at verse 9, there is John, by inspiration, penned these words. He said, after this I beheld and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongue, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne of their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. In this passage you see that around God's throne they are worshiping Him, song and prayer, fellowship with God and His servants. As you look at the chorus of the song that we've been talking about, it says, oh, for a home with God, a place in His courts to rest, sure and safe abode with Jesus and the blessed. Rest for a weary soul once redeemed by the Savior's love, where I'll be pure and whole and live with God above. I said, the Lord always before me. Ask yourself a question. Do I really want to be close to God? You have to have that desire first. I said, that's a purpose of man. If you really do, then you can do that through contemplating God in His creation. You can see the wondrous and greatness of His power and His might. You can meditate on His Word. You can come to know what God's Word says. You can talk to God in prayer. And as a result of being obedient to the Word that you have learned, that you've come to know, then you can have fellowship with other Christians. You can remain close to God. As you do this, you can draw closer to God. You can sing with David, as he does in verse 11. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Obviously, we all understand that we cannot have this relationship until we have been obedient to the will of God. And remember, we learned that by revelation we can know God's will. Through the inspired men, His will has been made known to us. When Paul said, how that by revelation He made known of the mystery. When you read, you can understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. But it's not of any value until you put it into practice. Remember, Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It takes doing His will in order to be in fellowship with God, and as a result, being in fellowship with His people. And so if you're in this audience this morning and you realize that you are not in fellowship with God because you have not submitted yourself completely to His will, through hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, and being immersed in water for the remission of your sins, then you're not a part of His body, the church. You need to understand your need to be a part of the body of Christ. If you're not, you can become a part of the body of Christ this very day. If you have obeyed the gospel, you've been buried with your Lord in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, but you have not continued to set the Lord before your face, you can make whatever correction need to be made in your life. We're singing a song that's designed to encourage you to obey. If you need to obey, why not do so? As together we stand and sing for you and encourage you.